From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The California Republican Party held its annual convention this weekend, and center stage was how to topple a November 4 special election, which would redraw California's congressional maps ahead of the 2026 midterm in a national redistricting fight with Texas to gain control of the House. Alexi Kossoff is a Capitol reporter for CalMatters. That's a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. He just returned from the California GOP convention in Orange County and explains how Republicans are divided on how to campaign against Prop 50. So what is the purpose of this annual convention of state Republicans?
So this is, you know, a typical thing, not just for state parties, but all kinds of political parties. They get together every few months and plot out, you know, how do we move ahead strategically? What is our plan to win? What is our plan to rally up the base? What is our plan to, you know, message to voters and win more people over to our side? It's also a little bit of a party. You know, people get together and have fun and catch up with old friends from around the state. So, you know, it's a mix of business and pleasure.
What's the vibe like? I know people can get dressed up and kind of costumes.
Oh,
for
yeah.
This.
I mean, you know, you're bringing together over 1,000 people to a hotel in Orange County, and you've got everyone from elected officials to really devoted activists in the party who will come in American flag getups or their best MAGA gear. One guy was wandering around playing the guitar for people. He'd written a song about how, you know, elections are stolen by the deep state. So, you know, everybody's sort of bringing their own kind of enthusiasm to the weekend's proceedings.
Is it mostly party chairs and lawmakers who go to this, or are there other people as well?
Yeah, I mean, this is like sort of the devoted, you know, core of the party. So it's a lot of people who are really involved at their local level in county parties, central committees, things like that, sort of the activists on the ground who are making things happen in their communities. And that's very useful then for them to then come together and talk about ideas, share resources, all that sort of thing.
What stood out to you about the conversations taking place? There were lots of presentations over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the thing that was just looming over everything else is that we are, you know, barreling toward this special election in November. Proposition 50 is on the ballot. It would potentially redraw the congressional maps in California to push, you know, most of the remaining Republican Congress members out of office. And so this is kind of an existential moment for the Republican Party here in California. It doesn't have a lot of party at the state level, but it at least could still kind of play an important role in national politics. And if they've got nobody almost left in Congress from California, they're really, really losing a voice. So there's a lot of discussion about what can we do to beat this thing. You know, what is our best path forward? What is our best message that we can present to convince voters to reject this plan?
Remind us, how many Republicans in California are currently in Congress? And if this redistricting actually happens, voters approve Prop 50 and Democrats get what they want, how many potential Republican districts will be left in California?
So California right now has 52 seats in the House, and the Republicans, after losing a number of close races in the past few cycles, are down to only 9 members. And Governor Gavin Newsom has put forward this plan that could redraw the maps to flip the partisan control of several seats, shore up the Democratic control of some swing districts, and it could leave Republicans with as few as 4 of those 52 seats. So this is really, really going to push them toward basically irrelevance in California.
Okay, so the Republican Party in California vehemently opposed to redrawing California's congressional maps. They want to campaign against Prop 50. So there's consensus there. But your reporting also found that there are divisions or debates about how to campaign against Prop 50. So what's being debated among the California GOP?
Yeah, I was really interested to hear some of these discussions as they're trying to work through in real time. How can we bring people over to our side? I mean, I think it's really important to note that Republicans only make up about 25% of registered voters in California. You need 50% plus one to win this election. And so you're going to have to bring a lot of people over to your side, people who are not Republicans, people who maybe even are Democrats. So what's the message that's going to get them? And there were kind of two separate strains that I was hearing, the people who were really thinking about how can we fire up Republicans and get them to turn out. And those people are really sort of focused on, you know, the betrayal that they feel from Gavin Newsom. And, you know, he's sort of been a stalking horse for the Republicans in California for a long time. I mean, he really motivates them. They see him as sort of a villain in the same way that Democrats maybe see President Donald Trump. But a lot of other Republicans are sort of saying, if we focus our message on that and only focus on what appeals to the base, we're not going to win over all those other people. We need to get to that majority. So what is the kind of nonpartisan, neutral message that we can send that's going to win over all Californians? And they were really focusing on ideas like show them the maps, show them how ridiculous these maps look now, and you know, hit the idea of it's corrupt for these politicians to be drawing new lines for themselves just to keep themselves in office. That's, you know, that's a betrayal of this independent redistricting commission that voters approved in California 15 years ago. These ideas like that. So, you know, I wouldn't go so far as to say there's an inherent tension, but it's such a short campaign that everybody's working through these ideas in real time.
When it comes to those maps, help us visualize some of the most egregious examples that Republicans could capitalize on and use in a campaign.
Yeah, so they're pointing to some of these areas where they are very conservative parts of California, and they've been split up in sort of crazy ways in order to create a Democratic majority. So there's obviously, the kind of maybe most prominent example that a lot of people have been talking about is this massive district that they've drawn in Northern California that would stretch all the way from Marin County in the Northern Bay Area up the coast and over to the other side of California all along the northern part. And it would be this massive district that's bigger than some states. Other examples are, you know, there's a district here kind of in the Sacramento area that's represented by Kevin Kiley, who's a Republican. It would be redrawn to just be a section around Lake Tahoe with an elephant trunk, as people are calling it, that comes down into the Democratic suburbs of Sacramento to flip partisan control of that district and try and push him out of office. So people are saying, you know, these maps are crazy, the shapes are crazy, these communities are being split up, and that's the message they're trying to send to voters, that it's unfair and people are going to lose their representation if these maps are approved.
Yeah, I found it interesting in your reporting that there was even like a residential street in Mission Viejo in Orange County that would be divided. So your neighbors across the street would be in a different congressional district.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to the chair of the Orange County Republican Party, and his message to all of the delegates who were there was go, like, dig into these maps and find examples like that street in Mission Viejo and blast them out to your communities, blast them out on social media and say, look at how absurd, that's the word he used, look at how absurd the maps are.
Well, recent polling from the Berkeley IGS poll, that's one of them. I mean, it shows that Prop 50 has a chance of getting approved by voters. That's just a snapshot. It's not an overwhelming swing in Democrats' favor. Did you get a sense at the California Republican Convention that there is optimism or confidence that they will succeed in stopping this redistricting push?
You know, I think everybody there has to have a sense of optimism that they have a chance of taking this down because, you know, the other option is to not fight at all. And obviously they're not going to do that, not with such high stakes. But I wouldn't say that I came away from the convention with everyone, you know, exuding this tremendous confidence that they're going to beat it back. I mean, I think, you know, on both the Democratic and the Republican side, it's so up in the air what's going to happen here. It was kind of an unprecedented situation. You know, we're trying to undo this popular independent redistricting commission that voters did approve. But there is so much anger right now among Democrats that there is a real chance they will rally behind and pass Proposition 50. And so it's going to be a fight to the finish for sure.
Yeah, and Proposition 50 is in response to the Texas state legislature redrawing its congressional maps. Did the Democrats sound off about the California GOP convention? Or was it kind of like crickets over the weekend?
No, I think there's always a little bit of, you know, partisan bickering that happens. But, you know, the Democratic Party at this point in California it's so dominant in the state. You know, it has more than, it has about three quarters of all the seats in the legislature. It has every statewide office. I mean, Democrats are so in command that they can kind of ignore Republicans a lot of the time and not even really have to respond to what they're doing and kind of do their own thing. So right now they're trying to rally Democrats, you know, around Proposition 50. You know, they are very much focusing the messaging on Donald Trump and saying this is our opportunity to stand up and protect democracy and push back on things that he's doing to try and push the country toward authoritarianism and things like that. And they've got this really sort of existential messaging, and they're not really worried about the Republicans at all. They're not focused on them.
Were there other topics outside of Prop 50, the special election, that was discussed at the GOP convention? Because, you know, after this special election, we are just rounding the corner to the midterm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this also, this special election really came out of nowhere in the last few months. And so it's kind of interrupted all these other things that the party's working on. Like, for example, there's a governor's election next year, and there's a couple of candidates who are sort of vying for support to try and represent the Republican Party in that race. There's Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco and former Fox News commentator Steve Hilton, who are kind of ahead of the pack there. I saw them all over the convention. They were popping in and out of rooms, introducing themselves to delegates. You know, this is the time, you know, way out ahead of the election when they're trying to get that institutional support behind the scenes that can translate into, you know, people volunteering for them on the ground or donors, things like that. A lot of other candidates as well that are maybe not as prominent who were also, you know, there trying to get their name out, you know, passing out business cards and things. I'm running for governor too, but people who probably don't have as much of a chance. And, you know, that is definitely an important thing for the party because, you know, California has this interesting top two system where it's not guaranteed that you have a spot in the runoff in November. And
it could be two Democrats.
It could be two Democrats. And if that happens, that's really tough for the party's turnout operation if they don't have someone at the top of the ticket. So they're, you know, you've got these kind of, you know, main candidates who are sort of fighting it out behind the scenes to try and, you know, consolidate support and really push themselves into that top two.
Can we actually know who the governor is in the primary?
Well, you can't know for sure, but
in some races, if it's like 50 plus one, you know, it doesn't really go off to a runoff in the November.
Yeah, so it will be a runoff. But what will happen is if it's a Democrat and a Republican, then most likely whichever Democrat makes it through to that top two is going to win. Just given the history of California politics and where the voter registration is at, you never want to count an election as over before it's happened. But Democrats do have a very good chance of holding on to the governor's mansion next year.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters Capitol reporter Lexi Kossoff about the California Republican Convention over the weekend. Okay, so that convention happened over the weekend. It is now Monday. It is crunch time at the Capitol. It is the last week of session. What stands out to you about this time compared to years past?
I would say it feels like there's a lot that's still up in the air. Usually by the final week of session, we kind of know what the legislature is trying to get done, and it's just a matter of whether they'll have enough time or have the votes. But there's still a couple deals that they're trying to work out that haven't even come together, and I don't know if they will. For example, the governor has really been pressuring the legislature to extend cap and trade, which is this system that California has that requires polluters to buy carbon credits. And, you know, it's aimed at trying to address climate change. That program, he wants to extend it through 2045. And there's a lot of kind of lobbying, negotiating happening behind the scenes about what the particulars of that extension could look like. There's also an attempt by the governor to get oil production going again in Kern County and have some more domestic oil production to address the fact that, you know, refineries are shutting down and the price of gasoline in California is potentially going to shoot through the roof in the next couple years. So, you know, these are things that are not necessarily like traditional Democratic priorities. And you've really got to sort of get people's heads around the idea of we're going to do something that might be unpopular with our base here. So that's probably why it's taking so long.
Well, and I remember at the start of the year, Democratic leaders at the Capitol, they made these big promises surrounding affordability and tackling affordability, which is a big umbrella and is kind of vague or is kind of a lot vague. So did they deliver? What does that mean and what does that look like with days left in the session?
I would say that it is hard to say they've really delivered on that promise. I mean, they talked a lot about that at the start of the session, and they never really put forward a strong explanation for what that agenda looks like. So I'm sure they'll be able to come, you know, together at the end of session and say, well, look at these bills we passed. These are addressing affordability. This is our affordability agenda. But it's lacking in the big sweeping ideas that could really make a massive difference for Californians. And I think that a lot of the energy around doing that has just been sidetracked by so many other things happening in state politics this year, especially this whole redistricting effort. And so there still are some things that could happen in this final week, like, for example, this effort to address rising gas prices. But, you know, in terms of a massive portfolio of new laws that are coming into effect, no, that's not there.
Alexi, as always, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
That is CalMatters Capitol reporter Alexi Kossoff, who just returned from the California Republican Convention in Orange County over the weekend and is now knee-deep into the last week of the legislative session at the state capitol. Up next, an intense storm system swept across the Sierra Nevada last week, sparking lightning fires across the foothills. We'll get the latest updates from CAL FIRE and learn how the town of Murphy's in Calaveras County is faring. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.